Grab your outlines. Let's take a look at the reading, Seeing Christ Through the Scars. What a joy it is to be able to share the Word of God with you. I absolutely enjoy it. It's cool to look at this text. Some things I know will be an encouragement to you and help you as you live out your daily life. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your Word, that you would help us to have a living faith, a faith that sustains us, Lord, in difficulties and trials and doubts. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at the character we saw last week, very different than the one that we have this week, Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus Christ, and she was entrusted with a very, very special task of going and telling the apostles. I think she stands out as a very trustworthy person. She actually has some really good character qualities that it's good for us to emulate and think about, because there are types of things that God wants to work in each of us. But she was trustworthy, she was dependable, she was reliable, and she spoke the truth. And she didn't really care what the others thought about her. She just went and told them anyway. We don't normally get that, but for a woman in that culture, that was pretty bold. And so I think there's a lot we can see from her. And in this case with Thomas, he's a little bit different. But what we concentrate on today is Thomas, unlike the other ones, and you think about Mary and the other Marys that saw Jesus and Peter, Thomas is the only one out of the group that's actually for us. He actually is an example for us in our daily lives, a literal example, one that we can actually make application for. See, because he had to live with his doubts for 7 days. We have a whole lifetime. He had to wait for 7 days. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus just left him for a week with his doubts. Didn't have to do that. He did it purposely, and he did it for us. That's what the point is, I think. And then from there, Thomas had to remove his doubts. Thomas had to actually deal with them. And I imagine you're like me, but I have plenty of doubts in my life. And some doubts are you can get rid of really quick. Some doubts I don't even think about anymore. Like the fact that, is all this just made up? Is this just a big lie? You know, I mean, did this really happen? Is this just some story? I mean, those sorts of doubts, I don't know about you, but they don't even stay in my mind like for 2 seconds. That's hogwash. But there are other doubts that stay in our mind that can annoy us. They can be doubts that have to do with a relationship. And by doubts, I mean that you're just, you know, the frustration, maybe with your work, maybe with just life, maybe just with doing things. There are things that just come up that cause us to doubt, cause us to have stress, have difficulties. And the point is this, is that the answers don't come quickly. I don't know if you've noticed that. They don't. A lot of times we have to deal with really difficult situations in life, and we do not get an answer quick. As a matter of fact, sometimes the opposite of an answer might happen, and it might get more difficult. And I think there's something for us to grasp here that's important. How can I have faith? What does it look like? I really hope to share that with you. I really do. What does it look like in daily life? Thomas is an interesting example to me in this case, because you can see what he said. Look in verse 25. In verse 25, he says, you know, the disciples try to help him. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with it. See, some of you I know, some of you don't know, but have you ever been in a situation where nobody can say anything to you? And I know some people that just don't get that. There's nothing anybody can say to you that is going to encourage you, it's going to help you. They can't relate to you. This guy, Thomas, there was nothing that they could say to him that was going to help him deal with the situation. He says, "There, unless I see the scars in his hands and on his body, I am not going to believe." And in Greek, what he says is, he says, "No way am I going to believe." He uses an emphatic. He says, "There is no way on God's green earth I'm going to believe." All right? Now, part of it, I think, is because of his personality. If you think about this guy, when at the Last Supper, Jesus was sharing, he said, "You know the way, I'm going and I'm going to leave you right now, but you know the way." And Thomas was the one that said, "Hey, Lord, we do not know the way. We don't know where you're going. We have no idea what you're talking about right now." So, I mean, this is a guy that is just not going to go along with things in order to be congenial. This is a guy that if he's not getting it, he's going to tell you, and he is just going to put it face up right in front of you. And that's so, I get that in his personality. But here's a more important thing. Jesus' scars were healed. Thomas's are not. So Jesus is completely whole. Thomas is no way whole. And what you're seeing, I believe, is his emotions, his hurt, his pain. Look in the text how much he focuses on the scars. He focuses on what happened to Jesus Christ. He suffered disappointment. And like I was saying before, I don't know if you had, maybe you've not had this. We're all different types of persons, but I mean, I have talked with people, and you talk with someone, and when you share with them, they actually get upset back. They're going through suffering, but they actually recoil back at you. This is not unusual. When people are going through a lot of hurt and they're going through a lot of pain, they just hurt inside. And a lot of it, I think, is what's happening here too. He's saying, "I don't want to be hurt again. Don't tell me this stuff. Look, I gave my whole life to this. I spent 3 years. And I think he is really hurt, and I think it's difficult for him. And it's hard for him at this time." So I think that's kind of what's going on when you look at this story. And I think it is very helpful for us as human beings, because on different ways, and some of us wrestle with this in different degrees, but we all have good days and we all have bad days. And the point is that God is looking at transforming your character, and a state of unbelief is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The one place where you find help and you find healing is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And when our hearts and minds aren't directed to that, or maybe we think we are so self-sufficient, and maybe we think that we have everything and all of our life has been so blessed and so wonderful and so good that we don't need it and we just have this on the side like salt and pepper on your dinner table. No. Thomas is a great example for those people that had to deal with life and have to deal with life in its reality. And so he comes forward to us in that way. And it's very cool that Jesus does not want him to sit in that state of unbelief. And he comes in there again, and Thomas happens to be there this time, and Jesus does the same thing. He says, "Peace be with you." He speaks peace, which is what Christ does. And he's very patient, he's very loving, he's very kind. Look what he does. The very first thing, right after greeting them, he turns to the one of the 99 that has gone astray. Isn't that cool? That's what Christ does. And the other thing that Christ does is Christ tells him exactly what he said he needed to believe. Look at the compassion of Christ. Look how he just goes right and he just talks to the individual. Now Jesus just speaks this to him and encourages him and helps him, and he leaves him with this one idea: stop unbelieving and believe. Actually, the Greek text is like, stop disbelieving, stop unbelieving, believe. And I do believe, no pun intended, that we need to hear those words. We need to hear them in our lives as we live out our lives. I think the Lord at times is going to say the same thing to us, because there is a doubting Thomas in us. How? A doubting Thomas is in us when we're dealing with other people and we look at that other person and we say, that person is always like that. Right? We say, that situation is always like that. Sometimes it's to ourselves. There are some people that really wrestle with, and there are people that wrestle with horrible deep depression, and they just can't simply seem to get out of it. But hear what Jesus did. Jesus says, there comes a time when you have to make a choice. There comes a time when you have to stop disbelieving and believe. There comes a time, and he's saying, Thomas, you need to choose this now, because you know me. There comes a time when the past is not the future, and you have to close that chapter, and you have to move on to what God can do, and how He's able to do it, and how He's able to bless, and be positive about it, and be hopeful about it. And I think this is what He's bringing out to us, because in our country, oh my goodness, right now there is so much cynicism, there is so much negativity. I get so sick and tired of hearing it. I'm like to be positive, and I get down at times, but I'm telling you, stop the complaining. Really? I mean, this is what it's telling me. That what's behind that? Doubt. That cynicism is doubt. I don't like this. I don't like that. That's really where it's at. So Thomas is not too far away from us. I really don't think that he is. If we'll just open our minds and we'll see, I think he's a lot closer than we might even think. And I'm true. I think the Lord really needs to speak this to us at times. He really does. I mean, if you think like that, if you feel like that, I do. He just needs to speak this to me. Believe. Turn the page. God is able to do far more. You know, God is able to do far more than we can possibly even think or imagine, it says in Ephesians, right? Now, stop and think of the scene that we have from the gospel. Jesus was dead. He's alive. I mean, you can't get any more incredible than that. So it's just the coolest thing in the world, you know? And he says, here's where it hits us. He says, actually, this wasn't for you. This is for us. This is for those that are going to not see. You know, Thomas, like I said, had what, 7 days? We got a whole lifetime. And all the pain and all the heartache and all the stuff we got to deal with in this lifetime. So we got a long time. Jesus is speaking to us. So, all right, what does it look like? What does it look like if we just believe? Look with me in the text, because John does give us the answer. He really wants us to know this. And look at verse 31. He tells us exactly what he wants us to know. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So let's break that down a little bit. He says these things are written. So this is more than just a book. It's not just a history book. It's not just a bunch of poetry or stories or anything like that. It is the Word of God. It is the life of God. Thomas's confession is the key to understanding this book. Jesus, my Lord and my God. That is the key. When you confess Christ as He confessed Christ, because He needed to renew that confession, He sees it. And Jesus, you'll notice, just takes it, doesn't He? Doesn't correct Him. He says, my Lord and my God. Jesus goes, you're there. You hit it. You made the right confession. This is it. This is the truth. This is why the book was written. That's what John goes on to say. And it's about believing. So what does believing look like? What, you know, because believing is meant, it's huge. It's a life. It means that we have a life that's been changed by our faith in Jesus Christ. It's been changed. Our character has been shaped. It's been renewed. A resurrected Christ is living in us. For example, you know, if you and I deepen our understanding of the signs and the wonders that we have in John's gospel, there's 7 major signs that it's built around. And those signs don't really affect us and don't encourage us in our faith. It's really just a wasted effort. If I have these outlines, right, and sometimes I put blanks in them and things like that, you could fill in the blanks, you could put them in a nice little notebook, you could hold on to them, but if this stuff doesn't translate into something that's there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I might not even well print them. You know, I tell you, I'm going to be going away for 2 weeks, and I will miss you guys greatly. But we've been planning this for a long time. We're very excited about Matthew and about this new chapter that's opening up in his life. It's scary. I mean, it's really huge. I mean, any of you guys had to do this where you got to start your own practice? I mean, you need some people to see in order to pay what's called bills. So yeah, this is big. Anyway, we're really excited about them. But I will continue, as I do, to pray for you. As we all pray, right? We pray for each other, amen? That's what we need to do. Lift each other up. And I'll tell you, what I'm praying, and what What I hope and believe for in Jesus Christ is that as we look at the actions, as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, which we do every Sunday, we look at this, and even during the week, I would pray that that would make faith more possible for us. And that when we pray, when you pray privately, and when I pray, and when I pray for you, and we pray about life, I would pray that we would feel as if we had a personal conversation with Jesus Christ, just like Thomas did. And you know, I would pray that when we look at these just wonderful, I was talking about the miracles, the greatest miracles, Christ rising from the dead, or that He was able to pay for our sins with His perfect blood, that our faith would become more powerful, it would become more meaningful, it would become more transformative in the world where God has placed us. And that I would learn how to process how God is working. Because God works differently. He works through our pain. He works through our suffering. He works through our failures. He works by us loving and serving one another. And that would just grow in us. That our faith, really, our faith just would be passionate. I think this is a huge thing that God wants to work in us. I want to end with a story that I found. And we don't know who wrote it or anything. It's not attributed to anybody that I could find. But finding it in different places, I thought it was a good way. It's about a bike ride. It's about riding the bike of life, you know, and using that as kind of an analogy of our faith. So it goes like this. Road of life. At first, I saw God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merit heaven or hell when I die. He was out there, sort of like the president. I recognized his picture, but when I saw it, but I didn't know him. But later on, know Christ. And it seemed that life was rather like a bike ride, like a tandem bike ride. I noticed that Christ was in the back helping me pedal. And I don't know just when He suggested that we changed places, but life hasn't been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was actually rather boring, but it was predictable. It was always the shortest distance between two points. When He took the lead, He knew the delightful long cuts up the mountain. And He went through the rocky places at breakneck speed. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though sometimes it seemed like madness, He still said pedal. I worried and I was anxious. And I said, "Where are you taking me?" He laughed, but He did not answer. I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. When I say I'm scared, He'd lean back and touch my hand. I did not trust Him at first in control of my life. I thought He'd wreck it. But He knows the bike's secrets. He knows how to make it bend to take the sharp corners. He knows how to make it jump to clear the high rocks. He knows how to fly through those scary passages. So I'm learning to shut up and pedal. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breezes on my face and the constant companion of my friend, Jesus Christ. When I'm sure I can't do it anymore, He smiles and He says, pedal. In Jesus' name, amen.